Well, I am looking forward to our time today. I think we're going to be together in discovering what this message is. I know what God spoke to me, but it's really fairly vague and general. I'll start with what he gave me. It was out of just a personal devotion in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Now, just a little background is that David is going to be made king of the entire nation, both the northern and the southern kingdom that were at odds with each other and had been at war. And we see in 1 Chronicles 12, we see David going to Hebron, south of Jerusalem, and he's going to be crowned king, and then all of the tribes come to crown him king. And in verse 24, it starts with the tribes as they come, and like Judah had 68 warriors, and Simeon 700 warriors, and Levi had 4,600 warriors. And each of these tribes is coming with their warriors to crown David king. But there's this one tribe that sticks out. You know, there's all of these tribes that are bringing all of their hundreds of thousands of soldiers end up coming. But this one tribe, this is the verse. It's not like Judah, 6,800 warriors, Simeon, 7,100, Levi, 4,600, Aaron, 3,700, Benjamin, that's not a tribe actually, the family of Aaron, Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, 3,000 warriors, Ephraim, 28,000 warriors, Manasseh, 120,000, Reuben and Gad, Manasseh, the 120,000 troops. But there's this one tribe, Issachar, and this is their contribution. It's verse 32. It says, from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders, not 120,000 warriors, 200 leaders. But get this, it says, there were 200 leaders from the tribe of Issachar with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times, and they knew the best course for Israel to take. 200 leaders. But they knew the signs of the times and the best course of action. What if we were able to easily discern, to know the signs of the times and the best course of action to take? Wow. Man, we can look around. I mean, in the brokenness, that's actually even my background, of the brokenness of post-hurricane, we're called to rebuild. And of course, we are called to rebuild. We can look at the political structure around us and everything that was insane with this last season and the election and the turmoil and the division. And we can go, what is the best course of action? And we can say, yes, there's an action that we have to take in rebuilding. There's an action that we have to take politically. But let me just remind you that the realm that we are dealing with and the one that we're called to live in may not be the one that we center most of our attention on. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I love this scripture. In Ephesians 6, 12, here's what we see. We see St. Paul writing, and he says this, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Let me just remind you that we are not fighting a battle of flesh and blood. We live in this body that is flesh and that is blood, and we live in a physical world. But all throughout the Bible, even in the Old Testament, we see that we are aliens, we are foreigners, we are strangers in this world. And the battle that we are called to engage in, the course of action that we are called to truly go after, is not one necessarily in the physical. Listen, we live in a physical world, in a physical reality, and there's some physical things that we will have to do. It's the right thing to do. But may we never trade in our biblical responsibility to fight in the spiritual realm simply for what we consider a constitutional right to vote or a right that we have to whatever it is. Like, those are important and those are good. I'm not dismissing them. But what I'm saying is, followers of Jesus, we need to, Jesus says this in Ephesians chapter 5. He says that we need to make every opportunity in these evil times. Opportunity for what? To shine the light. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The fight that we have, the call that we have is not to build in the physical. I mean, that's a part of it. Like, we're going to build the church. We're going to rebuild the church. We're going to have to rebuild the broken things. That tree back there is going to have to be cut down, or at least the half of it that fell off. There's physical things that we have to do, but that's not our focus. What if, like Issachar, I'm going to go back to Issachar right now. We understood the signs of the times, and we knew the best course, not for Israel, but for us to take. The signs of the times. Do you see them? Do you see what they are? Do you know what the best course of action is to take? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That's where we're wrestling in the spiritual. So what are we called to if we understand the times? Let's turn to Matthew 6, because Jesus, I really believe, spoke on this. If we're going to understand those times, what do we have to do? Like, what do we have to know? We have to know that the fight isn't in this world, that there's a spiritual reality. If I could just unzip the fabric of where we are right now and peel it back and look into the spiritual realm, we would see angels and demons. We would see this battle, this huge battle for good versus evil, light versus dark. And our responsibility is to follow Jesus' example. And so Jesus gave us this example, and here's the foundation stone of our faith is understanding, number one, that God's word is true, and to apply that to our lives. So that's always the foundation of everything. But look what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. He says that we should pray, but that we should pray like this. We know it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If I'm going to understand the signs of the times, like, the world has indeed gone crazy. Every generation has thought that it's crazy. Paul's generation, Noah's generation was crazy. Job's generation was, all of it. We can go back through it. Every generation has thought that their generation is the worst. Why is that? Because people are inherently evil. We want to be good, but in our own strength, we're not. You know, and the signs of the times in this generation is really interesting because we're no more or less evil than any other generation. However, with technology, we have the ability to transport that evil across the whole globe like that. I understand the signs of the times, and I've read the Bible from beginning to end, and the end talks an awful lot about what happens and how knowledge increases and the prophetic coming of this end of the world. Let me just remind you that the world is an ending coming to an end, but the world as we know it will when Jesus comes back. And may we never forget that he is. So in that interim from where we are in a really messed up world, we can see that. We understand the signs of the times. It's knowing what to do. It says that, where was it? Then in Issachar, that they understood the signs of the times. I think many Christians understand the signs of the times. It is the last days. Jesus got to be coming back soon. I agree. I believe that he is. But they knew the best course for Israel to take. And the best course for Israel and our best course isn't political or social revolution. The best course for us is to do what Jesus says and to pray. To pray. This is what we're called to. Listen to me. We're going to build the church and we're going to rebuild the church. That's what I believe. I really believe. Now, we're talking in the physical now, but those are way secondary to the spiritual call that is on us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth like it is in heaven. We are called to pray. I understand the signs. Do you understand the signs of the times? Here's the best course of action. Here's number one. Pray. Pray, Lord, help us. Jesus, we need you. Your kingdom come, God. I just pray that just like it is in heaven, it comes down to earth where I am right now, where there's no sin, where I'm walking in the light. Let me tell you, that's hard. That's tough. Lord, that where your will reigns supreme and not my own. This is the call on each of us. Why has the church been relegated to the place of insignificance in our society and being labeled as hypocritical? It's because the church has traded spiritual authority for political ambition and power. And if we have any ulterior motive, any motive to glorify ourselves because of what we do in being a Christian, we are missing it. Because if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to walk in the way that he walked and we'll experience everything that he experienced. And we can go, that's amazing, the miracles. Yes, but are you ready to be falsely accused? Are you ready to be stabbed in the back, betrayed, and ultimately die? And I'm not saying that you follow Jesus. Oh my gosh, you're going to be crucified on a cross. But can I tell you that it's not an easy road? In fact, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But he also said, take heart, I've overcome the world. That's the rest of that verse. In this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And the reason that we haven't overcome the world is I really believe because we have failed. We have failed to operate in the spiritual authority, not our own, Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Light, life in me. No sin, not sin. But we are people of prayer. We'll never know the right course of action unless we spend time in the presence of God in prayer and praying that his kingdom comes and his will be done. And here's the thing, the rest of the verse, and give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Those are all subsidiaries. The main thing that we're called to pray is your kingdom come. God will show us the path. My life verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. In other words, Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done. I don't know what that looks like, but I'm trusting you. I'm going to acknowledge that it's your way, not my own, and I'm not going to try to fabricate it. I'm just going to let you open the door, light up the path. I'm going to walk through it. And then you direct my path. It's the same way. Here's the prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, it's you. You're number one. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Oh, hey, Lord, I'm going to need something to eat, but I know you're going to take care of that. Father, I know that I'm not right, but thank you that you have forgiven me and helped me to forgive the other people who have done me wrong as well. Oh, and Lord, keep the enemy far away from me. I don't want to do any of that stuff. But the primacy of that scripture is your kingdom come. Your will be done. I'll never know the signs of the times, and I certainly won't know what we are called to do, the best course of action, unless I first spend time understanding God's word and spending time with him in prayer. We are called to pray. Listen, we just finished Thanksgiving. Can we take the next 14 days and pray together? Can we maybe set aside the food that we love so much? I get it. I love food. Can we maybe set down the phone, turn off the TV, leave Facebook alone for 2 weeks? Can we pray, God, show us the way? God, show us the way. We want to know the right course of action. We want to understand what's going on around us. It'll never happen unless we pray. So your kingdom come, your will be done. So I just called everybody out. Pray. Let's pray. 2 weeks for the next 14 days. Let's pray together. God, your kingdom come in our hearts, in our homes, in our church. I know many of you have asked, hey, you said you had an announcement. I sort of do. We have an opportunity that's presented itself, and I'm pretty excited about it. I can't go into full details, but in a partnership with Hamilton, working together with them, it looks like we may actually have the ability to build in a really cool location right next to them, to build our church that's broken. But I also am praying that we get to keep our church as an outreach center, a community center, a dream center. But none of that's going to happen unless we know what God's calling us to. And it'd have to be a miracle. So let's pray. Let's pray, God, your kingdom come in my heart. Lord, forgive me for my brokenness and sin. Cleanse me, that we pray that your kingdom come, your will be done, your light shine in my heart, in my home. That means the influence that I have in the people that I call family, whether that's biological, adoptive, or spiritual. Lord, your kingdom come in my heart, in my home and in our church. God's got a call on us. It's not to build huge buildings. It's to reach people. How do we do that? Prayer. Here's the second thing. I think this is huge. It's key. It's praise. We are called to be people of praise. What does that mean? That means with our mouth, we sing. And I'm not the best singer, but I know what it's like to sing a song of gratitude towards the Lord and say, God, thank you. To tell God how awesome he is and remember what he's done. Are we praising? So we see that when the nation of Israel actually entered into the place that God had for them in the land that he promised, they came up against this huge obstacle. It was Jericho, and it was a walled and fortified city, very strong. And if you don't know the story, that's okay. You can go to the book of Joshua. You can read about it. Start at the beginning. It's right there in the first few chapters. And they marched around the city. But guess who went first? Yeah, the priests were up there, but it was all the musicians, all the singers, all the worship leaders. Something happens when we praise. So you know what? Why don't we take these next 2 weeks and let's cut out everything but praise music. Can we do that? Like worship music, like not just like not the minor keyed, like sad, like, oh God, I need you, but like the happy, good stuff where we're thanking God and we're praising him for the good things that he's given us. I know this. I have 4 kids. You know which kid gets more? The one who's grateful for what they already have. So when we mix gratitude with uplifting songs, geez Louise, I know I'm going to try not to go over, but I'm thinking of this right now in Ephesians. Oh gosh, where is it? I don't know. Here it is. Where Jesus says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. I know you're like, how did he flip to that so fast? I was in Bible study with our guys, and this is the verses we went over. And it says, don't be drunk with wine because that'll ruin your life. Everybody who grew up in an alcoholic family can say amen. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God. How cool is that? We're called, if we want to know the best course of action, understand the signs of the times, we have to get out of this realm and get into the realm of God. That's prayer. That's praise. And here's the last thing. It's people. It's people. Okay, I'm going to go back to 1 Chronicles. From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. Issachar. It's a son of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons became the tribes of Israel. I know you Bible scholars, but what about Ephraim and Manasseh? Yeah, I get it. We're not talking about that right now. This is the blessing, the prophetic blessing that Jacob prayed over Issachar, about the people of Issachar. It's his son. He said, Issachar, in Genesis 49:14, Issachar is a sturdy donkey resting between 2 saddle packs. When he sees how good the countryside is and how pleasant the land, he will bend his shoulder to the load and submit himself to hard labor. So if we're going to know the best course of action through prayer, through praise, and through knowing who we are as a people, we have to know, like Issachar, a few things. Here it is. Number one, that we are the children of the promise and children of God. We are blessed. We have to know that we are blessed. So I want you to know that. Even if you feel like you're walking in the middle of cursing, when you follow Jesus, you become a child of the promise and you walk in blessing. It doesn't mean that everything instantly becomes easy. It's this blessing that knowing that Romans 8:28 is true, that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called to his purpose. The nation, like the people of Issachar, his descendants knew that they were blessed because Genesis 49, they're receiving a blessing. They're blessed. Here's the next thing that they knew. They were beasts of burden. We are called to be beasts of burden spiritually. That means that we carry the weight, the spiritual responsibility to pray for the world around us. That we are called to have a burden. Like, I thought Jesus said that his yoke was easy and his burden was light. Yes, they are. However, it's still a yoke and it's still a burden. Do I carry that with joy and gladness? Do you know that you're blessed? that you're a child of the promise, that you're a child of God? Do you know that God created you? He created you to carry a burden, his burden, to see his kingdom come. Issachar also knew this. They understood, they knew the course of Israel, but here it says they were leaders. Let me just say that when you spend time in prayer, when you commit yourself to pray, when you commit yourself to pray and operate daily in telling God how good he is, remembering where his goodness has blessed you, has been a blessing to you, when you know who you are as a person, who we are as the body of Christ as a people, you know you're a leader. That doesn't mean that you may stand before thousands and preach a sermon, but it does mean that you have influence in the world around you because you are tapping into the creator of the universe, and God will use us to rebuild the broken places. Isaiah 58:12 is the scripture verse that is our church. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. Us. Raise up the age-old foundations. Us. Be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Us. Not because we are good, but because God is. Listen, I understand that this is a broken world. And Lake Charles extra because of the hurricanes. But it is also an opportunity. It's Ephesians chapter 5 where Jesus, we see that Jesus said that he never missed an opportunity in these evil days. We don't want to miss that either. So let's pray. Let's praise. And let's realize who we are as a people. We need Jesus, and so do you. I need him, you need him, we need him. So I'm going to pray and we'll be done. Listen, if God's dealing with you, let us know. Let us know. You can click on that connect card. You can send us a DM. Just let us know. We want to help you grow. I want to see you grow. So Father, help us. Help us to understand these times and that we don't have to be panicky. We don't have to freak out. We have to know that you are at work. We understand the course of action that you're calling us to. It's to pray. It's to praise. And it's to walk in confidence as your people being a light in the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. See you soon.